Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour of the show here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Darren is off today. Elijah Campbell back at the studio, as we promised you. We're going to talk to Nick Green, who is an analyst for Fox Sports South for the Atlanta Braves. And they have won a playoff series for the first time since 2001. Hard to believe it's been that long for them. They've made it a few times since then, but a good breakthrough against the Reds did not allow a run in the two games, and so they now move forward. So, Nick, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, you got it, man. We're pretty excited to see what happens in this division series for sure.
Well, first, let's look at the accomplishment of beating the Reds twice. The big question, I think, for a lot of people, especially during the course of the season, was would they have enough in the starting pitching to get through. Everybody, I think, felt pretty good about their bullpen, but boy, did they get outstanding starting pitching. It couldn't have been any better.
No, and going into the postseason, I think everybody started to feel good about where they were as far as the top three guys. Max Fried was back. He's healthy. I thought there might be a little bit of rust in game one of the wild card series just because he hadn't pitched in so long, and he didn't have the innings built up. After he got hurt, then he comes back and gets hurt again in his second start back off the IL. But he looked great. And he's a young kid, but he's got some experience. He knows how to pitch. And I think that's the one thing with young kids. How quickly do they learn how to pitch? And he learned how to pitch this year without his best stuff at times, and he needed it in game one. So I love Max Fried and where he was going in. And Ian Anderson, this kid is going to be really, really special. I thought he was in a good spot going in, and he showed us that he's one of those guys that can give you five, six, seven innings every time out and let your team compete, give you a chance to win. We didn't get to see Kyle Wright, but I'm excited to see him in the division series. So those top three guys, I started to feel really good about the last few weeks of the season, and the top two guys were great in the wild card series.
And it will be the Miami Marlins that they face. And, Nick, they did announce that it will be Kyle Wright, you know, Vanderbilt product. We're very familiar with him in these parts. And so we're very happy that he took the big step forward late. I don't think we could have imagined him starting this game in game three as recently as, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago when he was sent back to the alternate site.
Yeah, he struggled bad. And it just baffled me a little bit that they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him and how to correct it. And Josh Tomlin would end up being the guy that helped him with the move to the first base side even farther over on the rubber, which helped his two-seam fastball work more of the plate. And then he started going to his curveball more. See, early on in the season, he was fastball that was missing arm side all the time. So he didn't feel comfortable with it. Then he throws a slider, which I think is his third best pitch, but they felt like that was his second. He threw it a ton, didn't throw the curveball, and he didn't know where to go. And then he moves over farther on the rubber. Now the two-seam fastball is as nasty as it gets. He's playing in the strike zone longer. He's throwing his curveball for strikes. He's throwing it a lot more. He's throwing it for a swing and miss pitch as well, and then using a slider when he needs it. So I really like what he's done. And when he came back, his first start back from Gwinnett, I thought he was going to be much better. I didn't know he was going to be this good because he still had some things to work on. He didn't have a feel for the slider and the curveball quite as much. That second start was awesome, and the third start he just built off of. So I think they've got a really good arm in Kyle Wright. I thought that for a while, but now he's starting to put it together. Did we expect him to be pitching in the playoffs and starting game three of the division series? Absolutely not. But that's how things work out. He's got an opportunity. It's kind of been a crazy season, but what happens when you get the opportunity? You've got to take advantage, and he's taken advantage so far.
Well, let's pick up on that same theme with the opportunity. They get the opportunity to play the upset-minded Marlins, who absolutely nobody would have had in this series, but when you watch the Marlins, you have to appreciate how resilient and scrappy they've been. But what are your thoughts? The Braves have played the Marlins a bunch this year. They've had their way with them. I mean, everybody remembers the 29-8 game, but how dangerous do you see this Marlins team?
They're dangerous, and we said this at the beginning of the year because they started off so hot, and it was almost like we have nothing to lose, and we're just going to go out and try to beat the odds, and they've done that. But they have really good starting pitching. Now, Urania's hurt, and Eliaser Hernandez is hurt too, so they're down to more than likely in game one. It's going to be Alcantara. That's what it is. Anyway, I can't say his name. I got to get right.
Sandy. We'll just call him Sandy.
We'll call him Sandy. So he's legit though. The Braves did not see him this year, and I think that's a big factor, and it's going to benefit the Marlins. We saw what happened in the Red Series. They didn't see Bauer this year. They didn't see Castillo this year. That's tough when you have stuff, and Alcantara has stuff. So that's going to be interesting, that game one matchup, although they haven't announced that yet. Sixto Sanchez is legit, should start game two. And then you look at Pablo Lopez in game three. I don't know where they're going to go after that, but I like those three young arms. And do they have the offense that will blow you away? No, they don't. But they still can beat you in many different ways. They run the bases well. They bunt guys over. They move runners. They take the extra base. So they do a lot of things right. And that's what wins the playoffs. So we'll see what happens, but they're a dangerous team. And especially when they have nothing to lose, they feel like they're playing on the house right now. It just, to me, it's the storybook for them. I don't know if the storybook is going to end the way storybooks end, but at the same time, they're doing a great job. So you cannot take them lightly, even though they're a team that I think the Braves should beat.
We're talking to Nick Green, who is an analyst for Fox Sports South and the Atlanta Braves. I think everybody figured that when the Braves signed Marcell Ozuna in the offseason, which feels like forever ago, but because it was, but when they signed him, he was gonna make a big difference. But in a sense, do you think he's almost over delivered in what he's been able to do for Atlanta this year?
I think he has to a degree. I think that when you look at the DH and how that's played out, I think it's been perfect. I don't know if he would have the same performance if he played every day in left field. Obviously, he hasn't been great in left field, so you want to see him in that DH spot. But when you look at the advanced metrics and what the Braves did when they signed him, they knew everything should get better. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to get better, but what he did last year and what his numbers suggested that he do were different. So his batting average was, I think, .241 last year, and his expected batting average was .291. He hits the ball hard. He hits a bunch of home runs. So they expected all those numbers to increase, and they got even more out of that. He's just been more consistent to me this year. The mechanics of his swing look better. He's not lunging at the ball quite as much. He was early in spring training, so he struggled bad in spring training one, and he fixed that during the quarantine, and he got off to a good start. He just continued to hit. So I think that when you look at the value they got out of him, I don't think there's a better value of a free agent sign this past offseason than Marcell Ozuna.
And then what have you seen out of young Christian Pache? I know there's obviously a lot of hype with him. He's one of the top prospects for the Atlanta Braves. We've seen him a handful of times this year. So what have you seen enough to really tell you what the future might hold?
No, I really haven't. What I've seen from him, just highlights and stuff, I think that his swing's gotten better. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. So he's putting balls over the fence versus just the gap power. His speed is there. His arm's there. The defense is obviously there. But is he going to hit at the big league level? That's the question. He has 4 at-bats in the big league. Didn't look great. And I think that when you evaluate how he did when he was up and he actually got to play, those at-bats didn't look good to me for the most part. So I think that's where the Braves said, okay, well, Ender Inciarte is really struggling badly, but we don't know if Pache is ready or not. We don't want to throw him out there. And we'd rather have Acuna out there and then piece together the right and left field. So that tells me a little bit something that I feel like he needs more development from the offensive side. The defense is obviously there. But I think the upside is there to be a really good player and a really good offensive player. We just haven't seen enough of it at the high level yet to really make that judgment.
So along the same lines of development and what a player can bring, Austin Riley has been with the club this season. We saw his debut last year, but you know, obviously we're still some things that he can improve upon. What have you made of him this year at third base?
I like him. I don't think he's tapped into his full potential yet. I think he's getting there, and I think that's a good thing. When I evaluate Austin Riley from last year to this year, it's completely different. When he came out of the gates last year, he was hot in AAA. And a lot of times when you're hot in AAA, it doesn't matter who you face in the big leagues, you're going to have success early. Then they started to figure out what his weaknesses were, and they adjusted to that. He couldn't adjust back. So what he does in the offseason goes and makes an adjustment with a swing to try to simplify things, make things more consistent, and he's done that. The best thing that happened to Austin Riley was Johan Camargo did not take control of that third base job. Ozzie Albies ends up getting hurt, and they have to run Riley out there every day. I'm just looking at his numbers right now. He only hit 239, which isn't great. There's a lot more in the tank there. He's starting to figure out how to dial down his swing a little bit to hit the ball to right field, to shorten things up, and then take advantage of mistakes for his home run power. So I think there's a long way for him to go, but I've been really impressed with what he's done. I'm not surprised he's played third base as well as he has. I thought he was a really good left fielder last year. He has athleticism. He can move left to right. He can come in on balls. And I just like what he provides defensively at third. And I think he's going to get better at the plate as well. So he's come up with big moments. I love him hitting at the bottom of the order right now, just lengthening it and with that power threat at the bottom. So I think there's a lot of room to grow with Austin Riley, but I really like what he's done this year and the improvement he's made.
Nick, leave us with this. I'm thinking of Austin Riley. I'm thinking of Adam Duvall, Ozuna for sure, although it doesn't matter, I don't think, what park he plays in, or Acuna for that matter. But I'm thinking of the park factor for Minute Maid Park, right? That short porch, the Crawford boxes down there. Yep. Do you think it's a positive for the Braves that this series is played there?
I think so. I the balls fly there. And this, the comparison of power from the Marlins to the Braves, I think it plays into the Braves' favor. When you have a lineup that can hit home runs in a big ballpark like Truist Park, and you go to a park like Minute Maid where the ball flies, I don't see how it cannot be an advantage to that team. And the Braves have done a really good job with home run power this year. The Marlins really have it. So it could be a lot of home runs, and that would play in the Braves' favor for sure.
Nick, great stuff. Thank you for your insight. Enjoy the series, and we'll be enjoying your coverage. Tell people if they want to see, are you guys doing some coverage on Fox?
So, yeah, we're doing pre- and post-game. Yeah. We're doing a pregame as well. It's going to be an hour long before every game. The first four games start at 2 p.m., so we'll be on at 1, and it should be on Fox Sports Southeast, if I'm not mistaken. We obviously won't carry the game, but we'll be on about 30 seconds after the game, so flip over for post-game coverage as well.
Yeah, Predator fans are familiar with that format, so if you're a Predator fan or Braves fan, you know where to find that stuff. So, Nick, looking forward to it, and good luck to the Braves.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Nick Green, former Braves infielder, part of their analyst team. The series starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock Nashville time at Minute Maid Park. They're in the bubble now. Marlins and Braves, best of five. And, of course, the other one, Dodgers-Padres. And in the American League today, it's Astros-A's, and then the nightcap is Yankees-Rays. When we come back, we will continue forward here on 102.5 The Game. A lot to discuss. We haven't even hit the NBA Finals from last night. We'll keep you up to date on any new football information that comes out there. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.